ABC Radio Australia.
Staying in Papua New Guinea, more than 200,000 soldiers died there during the fighting of the Second World War. And for Australians, the trek by the diggers along the infamous Kokoda Trail is forever etched into the country's military history. Joining us this morning to talk more about the PNG's role in World War II is battlefield historian, author and television presenter Matt McLaughlin. With that I say, Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Aggie. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your time this morning. Do you think it's a fitting way, though, to mark Anzac Day with both Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and James Marape walking the Kokoda Trail?
I think it's very appropriate, quite unexpected as well. It's a tough trek, so it's an impressive thing to see. And the Kokoda Trail is an iconic representation of Australian sacrifice on Anzac Day, and also that relationship between us and PNG. So I think it's a really great thing to see.
So what strategic importance did PNG play in the Second World War? I mean, why was it so desperately fought over?
Well, we actually misunderstand the New Guinea campaign in some ways in the Second World War, because it's usually painted as the last step before the Japanese invaded Australia. And the concept is that Japan was moving through Asia, the Pacific, and it was next stop Australia in terms of invasion. That's not quite the case. What the Japanese were doing is they were trying to separate Australia from the USA by capturing important islands in the Pacific, and that included the Solomon Islands, PNG, and then eventually, had that succeeded, they were going to move down and capture Fiji and Vanuatu and New Caledonia. So the plan was to separate Australia from America so that Japan could secure its conquests in Asia and the Pacific. And so by the time they arrived in Papua New Guinea, it was very important that we stopped them in that ambition.
I must say, yeah, what made the PNG people so valuable to its success?
Well, the people of PNG were absolutely vital. In fact, people across the Pacific, wherever there was fighting, in Solomon Islands as well, the local people were very important, all the way up, back up through the Philippines and all the way up into Asia. Local people provided absolutely essential assistance to the fighting troops, and we never would have achieved victory without them, because they knew the terrain, they assisted by carrying in supplies, they carried out wounded people. It was a campaign that really was fought in conjunction with the local people for the liberation of those islands. So we never would have won a victory in the Pacific without the local people.
Which leads me to ask, Matt, how big of a price did PNG soldiers pay during that battle?
Well, it was a huge price that they paid. So there were not just local people, but also, as you say, soldiers as well fighting against the Japanese. And of course, the areas where the Japanese had captured were effectively under occupation, the same way as we think about occupation in Europe. The islands of the Pacific came under occupation. And I've spent a lot of time in PNG and Solomon Islands and both those places. I've spoken to older people who recall the situation as children, and it was really quite horrific having the Japanese come in, take over, securing their villages and taking their food, and in many cases forcing them to work. So both the local people and those who put on a uniform and fought against the Japanese had a tough war.
Yeah, Matt, we hear so much about the Kokoda Trek. You know, Kokoda gets much of the glory. But I know other battles were fought also. I mean, Milne Bay comes to mind. I mean, how do they shape the outcome?
Yeah, the fighting carried on for a very long time in New Guinea, long after Kokoda was over. There was a lot of fighting in New Guinea to drive the Japanese out. And you mentioned Milne Bay. That was an early battle, which actually marked the first time the Japanese were defeated on land in the Second World War. And so an Australian force came in. They were building airfields in Milne Bay on the eastern tip of Papua New Guinea. And the Japanese landed to try and capture those airfields. And the Australians fought a great battle, which resulted in the defeat of the Japanese. And the Japanese had to get back on their boats and leave. And that was the first time the Japanese had been defeated on land. So there's just this iconic history in PNG associated with particularly the Australian efforts against the Japanese. And I think it's cemented the relationship between the two countries forever.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in to Pacific Beat, I'm your host, Aggie Tobol. I am speaking to Matt McLaughlin about you know, PNG's role in World War II. He is a battlefield historian, author, and television presenter. Matt, if we, you know, we reported this week of a plan to install more memorials around Port Moresby to extend wartime tourism even beyond the trail. What kind of installments or museums would you like to see?
It's an interesting one because we're seeing this quite a bit around the Pacific and indeed around the world that building more memorials. I think it's a really good thing. I think it helps focus visitors when tourists do come over to walk this ground. It gives them a focus on what went on in various places. But it's also important for local people as well to know what went on, and that certainly seems to be what's happening in PNG. And again, with my experience in PNG and Solomon Islands, I recall that 10 or 15 years ago, the opening of the memorial in Honiara to the coast watchers and the Solomon scouts who did such great work in the Second World War. And that was a wonderful tribute to the local people, that a lot of local people turned up for the opening of that memorial. And it's still a focal point for local people about the war. So I hope that it continues in that way in PNG, that memorials are not just for overseas tourists, but also something the local people can be proud of.
Absolutely. And I do just quickly want to ask, Matt, if someone was to walk the Kokoda Trail, what are people expecting as they make that trek?
Be fit is what I would say. It's a, it's a challenge. Do your training beforehand. It's considered the toughest sea level trek in the world. So it's, you know, people do get into serious trouble and occasionally die on the track. So I don't want to scare anyone off, but make sure you're prepared for it physically and mentally, because it's a long trek. It usually takes 10 or 11 days and it's grueling, but incredibly rewarding to walk that ground where the Australians walked and to see those sites where so many of them died. So I'd certainly recommend it if you're fit, but certainly do your training first.
Absolutely. Matt, look, we really appreciate your time and just giving us a little bit of insight into this. But yeah, hopefully we can catch up again, but appreciate your time.
Thanks, Aggie.
No worries. That is battlefield historian, author, and television presenter Matt McLaughlin here on Pacific Beat.